Would you take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we want to look at the first 8 verses of this particular passage of Scripture this morning. John chapter 3, and follow along with me if you would, starting at verse number 1, where the Word of God says, "There was a man of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." So this is not just some, person that's, if you would, in that day, low class. He was very high class. He had a high position. He was very religious. And so verse 2 says, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." You know, new births are exciting. In fact, I am pleased to announce this morning that last night we had the 8th grandchild born into this world. And Dean Benjamin Bolin. And this is why we have our one and only granddaughter with us this morning. And glad that she is here. But my daughter had a safe pregnancy. Everything went well. Good delivery last night. And boy, it is exciting. And this was Ben's first time. He wasn't able to be there when Corabelle was born because being in the Army, he was away at that time. But so he was able to take it all in, be right there in the hospital room with Amanda, and it was an exciting time for both of them. And so new births are definitely exciting. In fact, it is estimated that this year alone that there will be over 3 million babies born in the United States. So there will be a lot of happy mothers just in this country alone. And as exciting as these new births are, there is a spiritual new birth that is more exciting than the physical birth. In fact, I would say that there cannot be the spiritual new birth until there is the physical new birth. That would seem so obvious. But we find in this context of Scripture that Jesus has an encounter with a very religious man by the name of Nicodemus, and he told this very religious man, "You, sir, must be born again. In fact, if you're not born again, you will not see heaven. You will not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus told him twice, "You must be born again." And so this morning, we want to look at this passage of Scripture because in this day and age in which we live, there is much confusion on the subject matter of salvation and knowing for sure that when you die, you go to heaven. Many of you have heard me say through the years that I have asked countless numbers of people, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And the most common answer is this: no one can know for sure. But if you believe the Bible to be the Word of God, you can say, "I know that I know that I know that I'm saved." Not because I go to a church or any particular denomination, but because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in this context, Jesus is speaking to a man who is very learned in the Old Testament law. He is a Pharisee. And yet we find that Jesus says, you need to know something, sir. And I believe that this man later did come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. So notice with me, if you would, some things about this new birth. Notice, first of all, the reality of the new birth. The Bible uses the word born here in the first eight verses, eight times. And so it's talking one time physical birth, and the time is talking about a spiritual birth. Now, no one here this morning would deny your physical birth, right? I mean, you have what to remind you every year? You have a birthday. I just recently had a birthday. I turned the big 6-0, and so no one had to remind me about that, if you would. I knew it was coming up, and so forth. And so there's not anybody here this morning that would really not deny your physical birth. You know that there was a definite point in time in which it happened for you. Likewise, we should never deny our spiritual birth when it has taken place in our life. And is your new birth this morning real to you? You see, for some in the scriptures, it was very real for them. For instance, Peter. Peter, who wrote a few of the books in the New Testament scriptures, wrote about being born again in 1 Peter. It was a reality in his life. He knew Jesus Christ. Yes, he literally had spent 3 years of his life with Jesus, but still, there was this transformation that had taken place in his life, even though he was guilty of denying the Lord at one time in his life. I think about another disciple who was a tax collector. Now, he was not a sinful man because he was a tax collector, but that was his occupation, and in that day, they were hated individuals if you were one who collected taxes. I don't know if too many tax collectors today are treated the way they were in Bible times, but nonetheless, Matthew was and had that reputation, a tax collector. But he as well was called by the Lord to follow him. And Matthew had left that occupation, had followed the Lord, had spent 3 years of his life literally hearing the teachings of Jesus and seeing the miracles of Jesus. For Matthew, it was a reality. I think about the thief on the cross as he is hanging there beside the Lord Jesus. As he's hanging there, he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. In other words, even though that man, just like Jesus, was drawing his last breath, he then too had a reality of this new birth that Jesus had said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Let me give you one more example. There is a man in the Bible called Saul, and Saul was a persecutor of the church. In fact, the Bible says he hated those who were of, quote, the way. And so he was also like Nicodemus, a man very learned in the Old Testament law, and he gives you his resume in Philippians chapter 3. You can read about it later, but here was a man that was a very studious man in the Old Testament scriptures, and yet he did not know Jesus. But yet on the road to Damascus, the Lord got a hold of him, changed his life. He then became a preacher of the gospel, wrote half of the New Testament scriptures. I think if you ask Paul, Paul would tell you, you know, there was not only a time when I was physically born, but there was also a time in which I was born again. In which I know that I know that I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That was his testimony. And it was real to him. And that's the good news of the gospel. That no matter where you are in life, that when someone introduces you to Jesus Christ, and you believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, at that moment a great transaction takes place. You move out of the family of the devil into the family of God. That's the good news of the gospel. that you can start all over again, that you don't have to stay where you are. And that is the reality of the new birth. But notice with me, if you would, secondly, in this passage, we see the simplicity of the new birth. The simplicity of the new birth. Now pick it up with me at verse 4. So now he's speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know you're a good teacher that has come from God." So he is acknowledging, he has reverence for Jesus. He is acknowledging where Jesus came from. And yet in the context we see that Jesus says to him, "You must be born again." Okay, so now we have two adults speaking to each other. One tells the other, "You got to be born again." Now, wouldn't you think, first encounter with Jesus, he tells you that you might think like Nicodemus? I think I would. What do you mean? How can a man be born when he is old? That's like Chad walking up to me and he knows Jesus and I don't, and he says, "Hey, you need to be born again." Thinking, what? Born again? And that happened August 25, 1960. What do you mean, born again? That's what he asked Jesus. And so Jesus says to him, now pick it up at verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And so Nicodemus asked the question, Jesus then gives the answer, and as Jesus gives the answer, if you would, he points out that it takes two, quote, parents to accomplish this spiritual new birth. Look in the text, it's pretty clear. He says, except a person is born of water and of the Spirit. Now, what is the water? Some believe that the water is baptism. Jesus here in this context is not talking about baptism whatsoever. Some believe that he is speaking about the physical birth. That, you know, obviously, that, you know, my daughter yesterday afternoon texts my wife and says, "I think my water just broke." So there is that terminology and that reality in a physical birth. But I don't think Jesus is speaking of that either. So what is he speaking about? Well, if you got your Bible in hand, go with me to Ephesians, would you? The book of Ephesians, and look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and he says in this context something about the Word of God. And notice, if you would, in Ephesians 5, verse number 25 and verse 26. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now follow this next verse, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the what?" By the what, church? By the Word. So the Word of God is that which cleanses us. And so Jesus, back here in John 3, he says, except a man be born of water, that is, the Word of God. You are hearing the Word preached this morning, but it may be that for some of you, for me, as a 9-year-old boy, I was sitting in a service just like this. I heard my pastor preach from the Word of God about hell, and I knew I didn't want to go there. He told me how to avoid going there, putting my faith and trust in Jesus, but he said it all from the Word of God. So God was using, one, the Word of God. Secondly, Jesus says that the person has to be born of what? And of the Spirit. Now stay with me. Here, if you would, are the two parents, quote unquote, that accomplish this new spiritual birth. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now what role does the Holy Spirit of God have? Because we can't see the Holy Spirit. But I'll guarantee you that morning when I knew I needed Jesus as my Savior, I had a conviction of the Holy Spirit that I was lost, and if I died without Jesus, that I was going to hell. The Word of God was telling me that, and the Spirit of God was convicting me of my sinfulness. So if that has never taken place in your life, if you can't look at a time in which you say, you know, I know that I was under heavy conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit, and I know what the Word of God was saying, that I was a sinful individual, and I believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again. If you can't really pinpoint a time like that, then Jesus is saying, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the Word of God and the Holy Spirit now bears witness with my spirit, because saved at the age of 9 now, so for 51 years, I have been banking, if you would, my salvation, not on a prayer I prayed, but on the Word of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that on that day, when I did what the Bible says, that day, God saved me, and I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. And I'm telling you this morning, what a simple way. Now, I hope I haven't made it confusing, because it sounded confusing to Nicodemus. What do you mean? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? In other words, no, that's not what Jesus is speaking about. He's speaking of a spiritual birth. And so Jesus said here in this context to him, Nicodemus, listen carefully. You must be born again. Notice thirdly this morning, the dignity of the new birth. Go to John chapter 1. You're in John 3, go to John 1 now and look at verse number 12. John 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him. Don't you wish it would say that all the world received him? Well, that's our prayer, isn't it? But sad reality is not all are going to believe on the Lord Jesus, even after hearing how to be saved. But that said, notice verse 12, but as many as received him, to those who would receive Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of what? But of God. So here in this context, we see that the dignity of this new birth is that it is from above. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God loves you and me so much that he provided a way for sinful man to come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Hey, aren't you glad God did that? Because God could have created us and sent us to hell, but thank God he provided a way for us to avoid that through his Son, Jesus. And so we see here in this context that it is from above. We are in God's family and we share his nature. 2 Peter 1:4 says that we are partakers of the divine nature. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When I saw the pictures this morning of our new grandchild, I saw definitely a resemblance of my son-in-law in that baby, and I thought, poor son, poor grandson. No, full head of hair, black, pitch black. Both him and my daughter just have real black hair, just as Corabelle does. And there you can definitely see the parent's nature already in that newborn. May I say that when we are in God's family, we share his nature. In other words, we are to be a resemblance of the Lord Jesus. That's one thing to do it in a building like this. It's another thing to go out and do it tomorrow. It's another thing to go live it out through the week, and hopefully people will see Jesus in us. That we bear the resemblance of our Father. That we reflect him. That people see that is real in our life. And when we are in God's family and we share his nature, we live the way God wants us to live. Now, has there been a change in your character, or did you simply quote a prayer and join a church? Stay with me now. Do you realize that there will be people that will die and go to hell from churches just like this throughout the world? They've heard the word. They've heard how to be saved. They, quote, walked an aisle. They prayed a prayer. Some of them might have even gotten baptized. But it's not real in their life. Because now follow me very carefully. It's important to know what we believe about the gospel. I don't often do this in a sermon, but speak to me for a moment. What is the gospel? Speak up. Okay, it's the truth. It's 1 Corinthians 15 says it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Okay? Now, that said, it is important to know what we believe about the gospel. I've heard people in conversation, hey, now this is the gospel truth. Now, what they're really trying to say is, you know, I'm not telling any falsehood here. This is really true. But the gospel is all centered around the person of Jesus Christ. And when you ask somebody, if you die today, would you go to heaven? And they answer yes. And then you follow that up by asking them, well, how do you know that? Because that is how I follow that up. Well, I go to a church. Glad you go to a church, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Well, I was baptized. The Bible does teach about baptism, but that's after you get saved. Oh, well, I'm a good person. Glad you are. But the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So if it's not living a good life, and if it's not joining a church, and if it's not through baptism, then how does somebody get saved? Listen to this very carefully. Pointed answer that Paul gave to the jailer in Philippi. You with me? Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, go to church next Sunday. He didn't say, say a prayer. He didn't say, be baptized. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now think about this. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I ask you the question, has there been a change in your life the moment you got saved? Or at least the moment you believe you got saved? If there hasn't been, listen, I'm not your judge, but let the word of God be the judge. If there hasn't been a change in your life, the Bible says, we are not saved. Now that may sound harsh, because again, I'm not the judge, God is, but through his word he says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This idea, oh, I'm just going to say a prayer and Jesus will save me and keep me out of hell and I'm going to go continue to live my life the way I've always lived it. But man, at least I've got the security tag. I've got that. That's not biblical salvation. You with me? Say, Pastor, you're sounding pretty dogmatic. I am, because the Bible's dogmatic on this. Listen to this verse, Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So yes, I believe that we can know before we die that we are saved. But it is not by me walking an aisle in a building. It's not by me saying a prayer. It's none of that. It's by acknowledging that I am lost, that I have no hope without God. And I believe that Jesus died for me, rose again, and he is coming again. And I put my faith and trust in him alone. As we sing this morning, in Christ alone. It's not by my goodness. It's not by my works. It's through him alone. Always has been and always will be. And Jesus says, this birth is from above. God moving towards sinful man because he wants man to be reconciled back to him. And so Jesus then died on that cross. And as he died then, he was the mediator between God and man and now is able to bring God and man together. Wow. This is why it's such, as we sing the song, Amazing Grace. I love this quote. Though I do not believe you are saved through religion, but you'll get the meaning of it as I give it to you. If your religion has not changed your life, you'd better change your religion. If it hasn't changed your life, if there is not a want to be in the Word of God, if there is not a want to be with the people of God worshiping together, if there is not a strong, compelling motivation in your spirit to tell others of Jesus and how they can be saved, then you ought to say, hold it, have I truly, really been born again? Because that's the fruit of a true Christian. You want to know more about the Word. You want to read it. One time somebody asked me, why do you read the Bible? Because God speaks to me through his Word. And I fellowship with him through it. I don't just read it to study for a message. I read it because I need to be fed. Every time I open it, just this morning, reading in Romans chapter 3, that we are justified by grace. Whew. Man, I wanted to get up and run around the living room. So did that really excite you, Pastor? It sure did. Because we say, why? Because the alternative in that chapter was this: the law. I can't keep the law. I can't keep the Ten Commandments. I can't. Remember what Jesus says, if you failed in one, you failed in them all. Say, where have you failed? Well, I've told a lie in my life. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. Guilty. Stop right there. I'm guilty. But that's not the only ones. But he said, if you violate one, you're guilty of all of them. So has there been a change? Now, I want you to notice this last point that Jesus drives home. He says it twice, in different ways, but he says it twice. He talks about, in verse number 7, the urgency of the new birth. Notice what he says, marvel not, or don't be surprised by this, that I'm saying unto you, ye must, or you must be born again. Now, listen as I prepare to wrap this up this morning. Why is a new birth so important? Why is there must there be an urgency about it? Two main thoughts on this. It's urgent because without it, you cannot enter heaven. That's what Jesus said. This is not Pastor Kennedyism. This is the Bible. He says, if you're not born again, you will not enter into heaven. Plain and simple. Right now, this is nothing new as far as our country is concerned. There has been one thing that is new that has been added to it. Remember, for years, stores would have on their signs no shoes, no shirt, no service. Now they've added a third one. No shoes, no shirt, no mask, no service. Well, Jesus, if you would, is equally as clear about the entrance to heaven. He's saying, unless you're born again, you cannot. He didn't say might. He says, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why not? Because as exciting as our first birth was to our parents, our first birth was marred by sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So our first birth was marred by sin. As we grow physically, and grow not only physically, but we grow in our understanding of life and so forth, somewhere along the line, someone shared with us how we could come to know Jesus as our Savior. And they shared with us how we could have hope even though our first birth was marred by sin. They shared with us how that sin can be dealt with, or may I say has already been dealt with, through the person of Jesus when he died on the cross. And then there came a time then when we recognized our sinfulness, and we turned from it. The Bible word for it is the word repentance. That we were headed this way, and then we got saved, and we turned this way. That's repentance. And so Jesus says, this is so urgent, because if you do not get born again, sir, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Here's another reason why it's so urgent. Because of the brevity of life. You know, if nothing else, what all of this COVID around the world has shown mankind, how mortal they are. Right? We're all going to die. We just don't know when. If it's not COVID, it's going to be something else. But somewhere along the line, you and I are going to draw our last breath. And we're going to either be in the presence of Jesus because we've accepted him as Savior, or we'll go to hell forever separated from him. Life is so short. Listen to these couple of verses. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then, poof, it vanisheth away. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So if you truly experience, listen to the question, have you truly experienced the new spiritual birth? The Bible tells us this, to examine ourselves. Listen to it. 2 Corinthians 13:5, if you're taking notes, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now, we use the word reprobate different today than what the Bible meaning is there. Let me give this to you quickly. The Bible meaning there of the word reprobate means unapproved. It means a castaway. You guys have been listening so good this morning, but think about this. Jesus said in Matthew 7, this just even makes me shiver as I even quote it to you. Jesus said in Matthew 7, he says, many will say to me in that day, when now man is standing. Remember a few weeks ago I preached on the great white throne judgment? And Jesus says, many in that day will be standing there. and the book of life will be opened. Their name is not found written there. Then Jesus will say to the many in that day, depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, hold it. I went to Calvary Baptist in Gaines, Michigan. You do know where that is, Lord, right? Yeah, I know where it is. But I know something about you. You've never been born again. Your name is not found written in this book of life. But I was baptized. That wasn't the requirement. But I lived a good life. That wasn't the requirement. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Jesus will turn to many in that day, and there will be many in that day who will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name. And then Jesus will turn to them and say to them, depart. Seriously, that gives me shivers. To think that there will be people on that day who thought they were saved. Because they went through it and through only through your word have tried to help them. But through thy spirit and through only through your word have tried to help them. But through thy spirit and through your word have tried to help them. But through thy spirit and through your word have tried to help them. But through thy spirit and through the word, your word have tried to help them. But through thy spirit and through the word have tried to help them. But through thy spirit and through the word, may your word have tried to help them. But through thy spirit and through the word, may you have tried to help them. But through thy spirit and through the word, may you give that certainty. But through thy spirit and through the word, may you give that certainty. But through thy spirit and through the word, may you give that certainty. But through thy spirit, I bowed. This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life, bowed. This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life, bowed. This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life, this morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life, this morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? This morning, would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? I'm struggling. Would there be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life? I'm struggling. There be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life. I'm struggling. Be those here who would say, Pastor, in my life. I'm struggling with those here who would say, Pastor, in my life. I'm struggling with those here who would say, Pastor, in my life. I'm struggling with those here who would say, Pastor, in my life. I'm struggling with doubts here who would say, Pastor, in my life. I'm struggling with doubts here who would say, Pastor, in my life. I'm struggling with doubts about my salvation. Being honest with you and being honest before God, I'm doubting. I don't want to doubt anymore. I want to pin my faith, my all in Jesus Christ alone to save me.